Matthew 11 and verse 29 from the Message says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." If that isn't a mandate for the Christian life, then I don't know what is. If that was the only bit of the message, it would still be worth him having done it, because that just says it all. It says what God's been saying to us today. Basically, our lives shouldn't be one of stressed trying to get it right for God. They should be one where people look at us and say, "How are you doing that? How are you such a picture of relaxation in the middle of the chaos that is around you, that life throws at you? How can you do that? How could Jesus do it? How could he come to this earth into the middle of a war zone, into the middle of an occupation, seeing and know everything he had to do and still live freely and lightly? I don't see Jesus in the Gospels described as someone who was full of angst and was just had so much to get done, and yet he had everything to do. And so what we're trying to do as we journey with friends to freedom is to get back to a state where we are keeping company with him and learning to live freely and lightly. The key, it says, "Come to me." Jesus says, "Come to me," in that passage. And everything we've been singing today focuses us on that fact. In Christ alone, my hope is found. In Christ alone, my hope is found. The last week we talked a little bit about the battle in the mind that we have for freedom. And I want to give you another large chunk. And it is a big piece, but it is the piece of the Christian life. And that is that the kingdom of God is always upside down. It's always the wrong way around in terms of what we think. We were hearing today and we were praying today talking about this nation and a sense of independence. Well, God is not independent. He chooses to be interdependent. If you're going to talk about the uniqueness of the Christian faith, then one of the key principles is that God is a relationship. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit choose to work interdependently. So you can say, well, is God free? Yes, but he chooses to set aside that, to express that by working with others. So as we look to freedom in the kingdom of God's way, actually, the more you give up, the more free you become. The more you set aside your own personal freedoms, the more free you become. And that is the part of the journey that we're on. Let's look at some scriptures together. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Some of these you will know, some you might not know, they'll come up. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." What Jesus has done is not set about a set of recommendations for self-improvement. I was talking with someone yesterday, and they said they really wanted, they had an aging relative who wanted a gardener. They realized they couldn't cope with their garden, and so the family decided that they needed a gardener. And they finally persuaded the mum that she needed a gardener, which she agreed with. But her one condition was, I've got to get the garden looking good enough before I invite the gardener along, because I don't want to be embarrassed by the state that my garden is in. And then once I've got it there, then the gardener can take over. And we're laughing because we know it's ridiculous, but we know that's what we do. When I get my life good enough, then I'll give it to God and he can take over from there. That is not going to happen. And some of us get to the point where we say, well, when I'm good enough to come to church, you know, I hear that. I don't feel good enough to come to church. Well, you're missing the point. because that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is not getting good enough to approach God. God knows that. That's why he sent Jesus. We are broken. We are broken people. And we cannot fix ourselves, but in Christ, we have a new life. And it is when our lives are hidden in his that we start that relationship. Jesus came down. It's like the Trinity has been operating in the heavenly realms for all eternity. The Father puts everything under the Son. All authority gives to the Son. The Son says, everything I do and everything I say, I hear what the Father says, and I do what the Father wants to do. And the Holy Spirit says, whatever the Father and the Son say, I communicate that to you. It's just a constant thing. And it's practical. If I have a £10 note and I give a £10 note to Tanya, and she gives it to Mandy, and Mandy gives it to me, we've all had a £10 note. And that's the way that life is supposed to work. But we were broken from that connection with God. And so Jesus came down, but he didn't say, I'm going to come and improve you so you can think. He just enveloped us. And he offered to say, you know what? I'm going to wrap you in myself, and then you can come and join in with this dance. You can come and join in with this relationship in Christ. We are a new creation. And some of us kind of have missed the point. We're saying, right, we're a new creation. Now we've got a clean start and we can do it properly. And then we can be acceptable to God. That's missing the point. The grace of God is the fact that he does it all. He covers us. He envelops us. We talk about, and we will talk about as we go into communion. The idea of that, of what Jesus did there, was to finish the work. To say there's nothing more you can do of yourself to be more acceptable to God than what Jesus has already done. Romans 6. If you want to get this sort of deep inside you, you just need to read Romans 6 to 8 over and over again. But Romans 6 and verse 4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too may live a new life. Goes on to say, if you've been united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we may no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You lose your life to save it, to gain it. That's what the Bible says. One of the people who Mum and Dad had worked with is a person called Colin Urquhart, and he was invited to go into a prison. And speaking to prisoners is a bit of a challenge. And he just asked from God, okay, what shall I say in these 5 minutes? And he said, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is God doesn't want to save you. And there's a great cheer. You know, he doesn't want to reform you. Yeah. The bad news is he wants you dead. And sometimes we've got to get that. God wants us, the old us, and all of that part to die. The problem with this living sacrifice is that we keep getting off the altar. You know, we say, yes, all to Jesus, I surrender. And then, then we get up and we do something different. It's to the degree that we continue to say, not my life, but yours. And we die to ourselves that we live this new life, this free life that God's talking about. When he says, learn from me, walk with me, that is about you going his way and doing it his way, not you asking him to bless your way. You carry on into Romans 8, all the way through, but Romans 8, verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law and sin and death. The reason that God wants us to do things in a certain way is because they're good for us. Because he knows that certain activities have an effect on us. They cage us, they imprison us, and they keep us captive. And so what he said is, you can't do that, you can't handle that, so I'm going to come and do that. And what he's brought here, it says, the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. If you're worn out by trying to be good, stop. You say, oh, that's not... He shouldn't be telling us to stop trying to not sin. If God hasn't empowered you to stop sinning and you're doing it in your own strength, you're wearing yourself out. You need to say, God, I cannot do this on my own. Because otherwise it's just a set of recommendations that you're trying to do and you're trying to fulfill and you're trying to do your best. You are the Martha and not the Mary. You're the one who's saying, this is all good stuff and I need to try and do it. No, you don't need to try and do anything. I'm not a great fan of quoting Yoda, but in that regard, he was true. You either do or don't. There is no try. Either you are free or you're not free. But trying in the middle, oh, I'm trying my best. If someone says to you, if you invite someone to, you want to come out for a drink, and they say, I'll try and be there, we all know what that means. I don't want to come, and I'm not going to be there. I'll try and make it. I'll try and do this. It doesn't work. And God is not asking us to try and be better. He's saying, die to yourself and live in me. And as I surround you, you will live lightly and freely. It's in Christ, through Christ. You can't, but he can. You know, people say, well, okay, did Jesus do this? How did he do this? If you read John 17 and verse 21, you see this very clearly. This is Jesus' prayer for us. And this is at the end of just before he's about to go to the cross. John 17:21 says, well, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That scripture there could possibly change your entire view of how to do Christianity. If you want people to believe in Jesus, if you want the world to believe that God sent Jesus, then you do the bit before. If you don't go out and tell them that they're sinners and that they've got it all wrong and God's angry with them and it's only because Jesus came along that they've got a chance to not be punished. That's not what that scripture says. And I find very little evidence for that as a form of evangelism in the Bible. This says, may they be one, just as the Father, as you are in me and I am in you. They will believe. When they see your life and all of its all of the complexities of it enveloped in Jesus. That you are living in the kingdom of God, that you are living connected to Him and allowing Him to live through you. They will believe that that can't be done without God's help. Our lives are hidden in Christ. It says in Acts, in Him we live and breathe and have our being. Colossians 3 and verse 3, that's the one I just quoted. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, that's the message, that when we come to God, when we start on this journey to freedom, the first thing we're going to be presented with is, you can't come on that. You can't come on that journey. You say, well, who can? Not that person, not the old person. It's not about this, the improvement of the old, the improvement of someone who hasn't done very well. And it's about saying, you know what, I need a new person inside me to go on this journey. And that's where, when you come to God, and when we hear the term born again, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that new creation who's going to go on that journey of learning what it is to be in Christ. I mean, this is kind of complex. But if you don't hear it, you can spend your life struggling to do the right thing, and that isn't going to get you anywhere. And if you do want to take a real rest and be feel that this life is not one of just grinding along, then knowing what it is to live in Christ, to have your life hidden in His, to be fully aware that the work He did on the cross was not just to give you a clean sheet, but it was to say, you can't do any of this, and I need to do all of it. And I wanted to say, when I was praying about this today, I said, God, you know, what do you want me to say? And it was just stop and lean back into Him. You know, God is there for you to rest in, to remain in, to live connected to. And that is what living in Christ is all about. Everything that you want is in Christ. Every emotion that you need is in Jesus, is in Christ. Every resource you need is in Him. So when you say, oh God, I need this, I need that, I need the other, what He's saying to you is, it's in me. It's in me. Come to me. Be surrounded by me. Be enveloped by me. Fall back into me. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, it's another great book to read. I won't explain the context of it, but he says, most of us, meaning human beings, imagine an outcome we would like, and then we pray for it to happen. That's the way we go about life. I want this, and I don't see it happening, so now I'm going to pray and get God on my side. Then the end result of that is, then we get disappointed with God because He didn't answer our prayers. And then we stop praying, and the enemy's won, because we've missed the point. To begin with, we have to trust God that He's got a better life than we can imagine. And that's probably the biggest issue. We don't want to start with God because we think if we ask God what we should do in our lives, He's going to say something that we don't like. Is that true or not? How many of you think, you know, when you sing these songs and think, you know, I enter His gates or walk, you know, imagine, you know, Lord of the Rings style, you know, the doors are opened of a massive hall and there is God on a throne at the end. So how are we feeling? Are we already kind of nervous and intimidated because of what he's going to say to us or do to us? And then we approach that throne. And it's how you're feeling at this point that will denote how far on this journey of freedom you've come. Because some of us burst open that door and run headlong and jump onto the throne and jump into his arms and say, like we heard today, "Dad, I had a great day. It was amazing. Everything you said was great and worked out brilliantly." But some of us believe that God is going to start with, "Right, let's talk about X, Y, and Z." And we're missing the point, and we're missing the way life could be. Prayer needs to start in the heavenly realms. The hardest prayer, probably for most of us, and even for Jesus, was, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's why Jesus put it in the thing. We don't want to pray that prayer. What, you know, not my will, yours, God, because that's the nature of us. But freedom is going to come from understanding that is the best thing for our life. Jesus came and he sacrificed and he surrendered. He surrendered his right to live as God. He had never known anything but equality with God. And he surrendered that, and he came to earth, obediently followed God, and then he sacrificed his very life so that we could live this life. And that is the picture of part of this journey we're on. A few, I think pre-Christmas time, when we started announcing this journey with friends to freedom, I told you, it's tough. And sometimes it's easy to forget that. Jesus did not say the Christian life is going to be easy. And freedom is not necessarily all about it being the easiest path or the path of least resistance. But when you follow and do and say and act in accordance with what God wants, you will have the best life possible. You will have the best life possible. Do you trust God enough to give him control of your life? Some of us, you know, there's that sort of, you know, we're driving a car, you know, where's God in our car? Is he in the back seat? And, you know, is he, you know, does he have the steering wheel? I mean, yeah, Ella and Tanya are looking at each other now because Ella's learning to drive and is very confident. No, it's very good, and we haven't driven for a while, and so we put the L plates on, and I'm in the front. So theoretically, I am supervising her driving, except that there was suggestions being given from the back seat. And you know, some of us are like that, you know. Yes, we want God to drive the car, but we'd quite like to have a veto over how he's doing it. We'd like to sort of say from the back seat, do you really know where you're going, God? Have you ever done this before? You know, look out for that. What about that? And yes, it feels and sounds counterintuitive, but that is what the kingdom of God is about. The mechanism for us being free and for us doing this is friendship. Because the kingdom of God is not an I. It's not about that. That God demonstrated that by the Trinity. The Trinity is a community. It is a relationship. The glory of God is that relationship. When we pray and when we sing about God's glory, it's not about this place being filled with light. It's not about feathers falling out of the sky, however that might be quite good, or gold dust on our hands, or oil, or all those other manifestations. The glory of God is his complete unity with himself. And therefore, if we are experiencing the glory of God, we will experience that complete oneness with God and with each other. And so the journey to freedom, you can't hop the middle bit. Some of you are going, great, this is the journey to freedom. And I'm going to get free, and we're back to the independent bit. What God is saying is the mechanism for you to get free is going to be through you thinking about others more than yourself. And we don't have the capacity to do that, but God does. Christ does. As we live in him, he gives us what we need to be able to give to others and to be able to live in that connected life. Philippians 2 and verse 13. This is in a bit of an odd translation, but if you look at all the translations, they say similar things. But it says, it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. I don't know what it says there. For it is God who works in you to act according to his good purpose. Yeah, I like this one better. It says, it's God in you who's producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. If you don't have any desire to do what pleases God, you need to go back to God and get it from God. Don't condemn one another. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel bad about it, because that scripture says it's God who's doing that in me. So I have to say, God, why don't I love people like you love them? And he will tell me, because you don't see the value in them as I see the value in them. So then I've got to go, God, show me the value in people as you see. Show me what I don't see looking from the outside. And then he will start to talk to me about individuals and about what they've gone through, what they're going through, how they've struggled, when you find out about people's lives, I mean, I don't know how some of you guys get up in the morning. I don't know how some people continue to exist. We're people who know Jesus. There are people out there whose lives are so grim that I just don't know how they carry on. And so when you find out that your heart is moved like Jesus, it's moved with compassion, and you say, you know what, I want to be a part of a blessing to you and not part of the problem. And so you start to be his hands and his feet. God needs you to be the people who are going to deliver freedom to those people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So back to that thing, the hope of glory. The hope of glory, a glorious connection one to another, is Christ in us, is us in Christ. People don't need you. They don't need me. They need Jesus. They need me to stop being the bit that I am, and they need me to start being more of who Jesus is. And on the progression of discipleship, you start off by trusting yourself. I don't know whether you saw, anyone watching Bear Grylls and that survival program? It's fairly nutty. Yeah, I think the idea of trying to kill off celebrities is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I think more of them should be taken out to extreme circumstances, and there's a chance that we could dwindle the numbers a bit, you know. That was probably not Jesus speaking, demonstrating my point quite aptly. Anyway, say what you will about celebrities. So Jamelia I've only seen one of these things, and Jamelia is there, and she gets thrown off. Interestingly, she was thrown off because of her independence. But her independence, she stated, was because she's been let down by so many people so often that she can't trust anyone. And so she'd rather light the fire herself, build her own shelter, catch her own fish, and look after herself than work with a team. And that's the reality of our lives, that we have experiences that say to us, we can't trust other people. We can't, we can only trust ourselves. And as you connect with God, God says, you know what? You need to connect with other people. And don't trust them. It says that Jesus did not entrust himself to anyone. He didn't trust. I don't believe he gave himself in that sense of trust to his disciples, because he knew that they couldn't do what they were broken people. And if you are looking to broken people to be your source of happiness and your source of fulfillment and for them not to reject you, it's not going to happen. If you think I'm going to do it, then sadly, you're mistaken. None of you are nodding at that point, so you know me quite well. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to let you down, but I'm going to because I'm human. So what God says is, don't follow people, but follow me in people. Follow me. Trust Jesus that when people let you down, he will be everything that you need. Trust him. Trust Jesus in leaders and in other people. Follow him. And so as you progress, you don't get better at trusting people. You get better at trusting God. And when people let you down, God is there to fulfill all that you need. So the journey of us, of one to freedom, is going to be learning how to do that. Learning how to be in Christ Jesus. Learning how to die to the old and live a new life. And it's a very complex and big subject. But I just felt that was part of what God wanted to say to us this week. Next week we're going to talk more practically about some of these things and other aspects of freedom. But it has to be that we do it his way and not the way we think it should be done. And that is, we can't, but he can. We lay down our life, we die, so that he might live. And, you know, that verse, probably one of my favorite, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. You know, this life I now live. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take communion and take all of this and look at all of that. Jesus said, it is finished. On the cross, he said, it is finished. He has done everything for our freedom. Last week, we were talking Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know, we are no longer slaves to ourselves because we should be dead. We're no longer slaves to sin because it has been done away with. We're no longer slaves to religion. And we haven't touched on that, but we will touch on that, because some of us are captive to religious thinking, that we think we're doing the right things, and some of it's tradition, and it was well-meaning, but it's wrong. And we're caught in that. And God wants to lead us into freedom in that. Amen. You can be free in Jesus' name. You can be free. You know, it is possible. It is possible in every area of life, but it starts not by greater levels of effort and more holiness or tidying up the garden, like I said at the beginning. It starts by saying, Jesus, I can't, but you can. We were singing that song today, and it comes straight from Romans, talking about being more than conquerors. And again, you could go through this whole passage, but it says, for those he predestined, he also called. He's called us. He then justified us, and now he's glorifying us. What then shall we say in response for this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he is for us in every area of life to see us set free. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And I think that some of us don't fully understand the vastness of his resources towards us. We had a fantastic holiday and went to Australia. Some of us feeling, Ella's, someone in her work says, well, you've just been to Hawaii, you know, life's good for you, isn't it? Well, yes, it is good for us because God is good for us. And when I was thinking about it, you know, we went to Sydney. We spent 3 days, 4 days in Sydney. We went to Brisbane and spent 3 or 4 days in Brisbane. We went to the Sunshine Coast. We then went to Cairns. We went to Papua New Guinea. We went to Singapore. At no point along that journey did we pay for any accommodation, because people are there. God is good. Connections with other people mean that life works out. And you know, it's as you start to trust God, he has resources for us more than we can imagine. And we need to stop trying and start living and receiving in the vastness of what he's got for us. So I'm going to pray for the communion, and then we're going to take it together. The kids will probably come back in halfway through, and if you've got family and you want to wait for them, that's fine. As part of a church, we take communion once a month on the second week, and it's something we want to invite everyone to do. It's not that we don't set high parameters. If you are if you love Jesus and you want to you're living a life trying to follow him, then the Bible says that take this in remembrance of what God's done. And so, you know, we want to invite us all to participate. We do take it seriously, but we don't make it overly religious, because I believe that this is remembering the work that Jesus has done. And we, as often as we do this, we think about not only what he's done, but that actually he's coming back. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have done it all. The cross has said it all. That Jesus, you have done it all. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to teach us what it is to fall back into your loving arms. That trust fall, that fall into you. That, Father, we would say, it's no longer me. I can't do this. I cannot do this, but you can. That it is your work in me that will produce both the desire and the ability. And at the end of it, when people say, that's amazing, you can say, to God be the glory for the things he has done. Not the things I've done, not the things I've done with his help, but the things that he has done. Father, I thank you. I thank you that that's Jesus, what you did, the example. Everything you said and did, you did because the Father was working in you to outwork his purposes. You demonstrated this way of living, that it was the Father in Jesus who did the work. And it is Jesus in us who is going to do the work. So as we take communion, Father, I thank you that we remember your body broken, that you said, not my will be done, but yours, that you physically went through it. It was tough, but you did it. And you said, it's for the joy, it's for freedom, it's for those who are going to come after me that I'm doing this. He came to set the captives free. And I thank you that in every area of life, you're going to do that. And as we take communion today, if there's an area of captivity that you are just fed up of being held captive by, then as you take the bread and the wine, just say, God, I want freedom in this area. I want you to set me free. I want you to lead me out of this captivity. I want you to lead me out of this darkness into your glorious light. And just throw yourselves back onto him, because it's in only in him that we can live and breathe and live lightly and freely. Thank you in Jesus' name.